How many of this is your first service? That your first one, you've been, so it's been quite a few. Well, welcome. Now, I'm going to review all week's messages. This may take a while. Sue calls me the master of synopsis, so let's see how I can do here. This week we were really teaching on a passage out of the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:19. And one of the commandments of the Lord was, thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. And I grew up, my parents on both sides came from farming families, and I'd seen a lot of farming done in my life, and I could not understand why in the world it would matter to God if you sowed oats and barley in the same field or any other two mingled seeds. But as I grew in the Christian faith and began to understand spiritual things, with it, Jesus said the number one parable of all parables is a sower sows the word. Where does he sow it? Sows it into your heart. So we are collectively and individually, we are that field. So the whole week we were teaching about the problem with the body of Christ. We're all walking around with mingled fields. We're part law. We're part grace. We're part Old Testament, part New Testament, part he loves me, part I'm condemned. On and on and on we could go. And what this week has been about was demingling, rooting out some of the tares and some of the things out of our field. So I encourage you to get those messages. Now, for the offering tonight, one of the things I did all week was we went to the book of Hebrews, because that was a unique group of people. They grew up under one legitimate covenant, a legitimate covenant with God. And during their lifetime, Jesus came, fulfilled the old covenant and established the new. We went to Hebrews where it talks about he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. So they're trying to renew their mind. All they've ever known is the Old Testament. They've known the Ten Commandments. One thing that every one of them believed for sure, they were not a priest. Under the Old Testament, the only people that could even qualify as a priest was a Levite. You had to be from the tribe of Levi, and not all of them became priests. But if you were anything else, you could never be a priest. Yet part of the New Testament gospel, you can read it in Revelations 1. By the way, be turning to Psalms 103. Revelations 1, it says, he has made us kings and priests. Now think how that would sound to one of these Hebrews that grew up under the law. Say you're from the tribe of Benjamin or from the tribe of Judah or from any other. And suddenly now you find out, wait a minute, God has made me a priest. I was certainly never a priest before. I had to always bring my lamb to a priest. And besides that, now that Jesus has, he is the Lamb of God, and his blood has been offered on the mercy seat, why in the world would God have to have need of any other priests? And those are good questions. Well, so I did my homework. When I say do my homework, that means I meditate the word and I pray a lot in other tongues. One day the Holy Spirit woke me up. I heard these words so clear. Now, when you hear him really clear like this, I don't care if you're in a dead sleep. You get up and you go write it down, or you keep a tape recorder by your bed. You don't want to lose those times when he comes. So he told me, he says, clear as a bell, he said, every believer is a priest. And the first offering to put on the altar is their bodies. Does that remind you of a scripture? Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, we taught a little bit about that, and there are several ways that you can present your body. One is through some fasting. The primary way that Paul teaches about in the book of Romans preceding that verse is laying your body on the altar of prayer. Spending time in the Holy of Holies, praying in the Holy Ghost, your body will never enjoy that. Your body wants to go swimming, bicycling. My body would rather mow the lawn than sit there while I pray in other tongues. And I don't really enjoy mowing the lawn, but my body would prefer it because at least it's something to do. But there's other verses that we didn't get to this week, and so at offering time, you can just make reference to these. I want you to stay in Psalms 103. That's where we're going to wind up. You can write these down. In the New Testament, there are several other places, though, where it speaks of spiritual sacrifices that we, as New Testament priests, are to offer unto God. One of them is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. He said, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Well, what are those spiritual sacrifices? Well, here's a few of them. Hebrews 13:16 says, "But to do good and to communicate." Now, that's King Jamesy for "share what you have." To do good and to share what you have with others, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So doing good, and if you see a brother in need and helping them out, if you have some abundance, you're acting as a priest unto God when you offer up that sacrifice. All right, another one is financial. Another financial one is Philippians 4:18. The Philippians had sent a gift to Paul's ministry. The book of Philippians is basically a thank you letter to them with some teaching involved. So he says to them in Philippians 4:18, he says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable and well-pleasing to God." Now that pertains exactly to what we're about to do tonight, to give because we want to further the work. Why were they sending an offering to Paul? They wanted... You ever think really who the church at Philippi is? That church was started by an earthquake in a prison. It was the Philippian jailer. It was the one that come to Paul. I mean, that's where Paul and Silas were beaten and imprisoned. And at midnight, they sang praises and hymns and worshiped God. And God sent an earthquake and shook all the cells open. And it's so astounded, even the ruler of that prison, he says, "What must I do to be saved?" He says, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou and thy house, and thou shalt be saved." That's the beginning of the church at Philippi. One thing this group knew, if you send money to Paul, he's not going on a vacation to the Bahamas. This guy will stay even after he's been whipped and lashed for the gospel. He's going to stay and sing praises to God and lead his very captors to the Lord. Why were they sending him money? They knew it would expand the kingdom of God. It would continue. And that's why we're giving in this offering tonight, to get the gospel as far as it will possibly go, by internet, by book, by CD, by MP3 player. We'd tape it to your back and let you carry it out of here. We don't care. It's just by whatever means, get the gospel out. But then there's one more, and this leads us to Psalms 103. Here's another praise for New Testament believer priests. Hello, priests. And this is Hebrews 13:15. It says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips." Parentheses, not silent prayer. Sometimes you need to open your lips, make a joyful noise. See, I can't really sing, but I can make a joyful noise to the Lord. A sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now, that brings me to Psalms 103. And really, this is under the old covenant. This is included. Everything here is included in our covenant. But our covenant has this, and established upon better promises. But if we could just get the church to believe the first few verses of this, they'd be praising His name all the time. Now let's just look at it here. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now stop right there. That means for once you're not going to let your soul tell you what a rotten day you're having. And I got a feeling the day that David wrote this, I got a feeling it was not a great day. I mean, he was having tendencies toward discouragement and things are going bad. And he says, "All right, that's enough. Listen, I'm going to take dominion here. So you bow the knee. I'm telling you, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. You will bless the Lord." And then he says, "And for bless His holy name, all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Christians are way too quick to forget his benefits. Well, like what benefits? What benefits would those be? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? If there was nothing coming after that. Everything I have is his already. Because Sue and I know for sure we would have wound up in hell without that verse right there. Who forgives all thine iniquities? Who heals all thy diseases? Oh. Now when the enemy comes with symptoms, pain, what's he trying to do? He's trying to get you to forget your benefits. You need to talk to your soul and say, soul, don't you forget my benefits. These are benefits that belong to me, and he heals all my diseases. Pain, you're leaving, my buddy. Cancer, sickness, whatever it is, I don't care what it is. You are, start talking to it like David. He heals all my diseases. Say it, look to somebody. Said, God heals all my diseases. He forgives all my iniquities. How about this one? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? He crowns my life with loving kindness and tender mercies. Not just mercy. Tender mercies. Who satisfies, now the older I get, I really like this one. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. I'm not going to forget your benefits, Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen, when we give tonight, it's just an offering from priests unto our God. But we're giving from a... See, I used to give because I listened to the... I used to give because... I started to say the TV preachers, but I'm supposed to be nice. They had me convinced that I couldn't get God's blessing unless I gave first. Christ already gave first. There has already been a seed sown that I can't never match. And the harvest already belongs to me. So I used to give trying to get rich. I thank God I found out I already am. I have an inheritance, incorruptible. It's reserved for me. Everything I ever need. The analogy I like to use, Sue and I are grandparents now. Did you know we're the grandparents who answers before they call? Oh yeah, we have toys and shoes and clothes already bought, laid up for them before they even know they need them. Do you know God's like that with you? He's the God who answers before you call. He's got your next bike in his garage. Can I say it that way? When we give tonight, let's give out of thankful hearts, offering up a sacrifice of praise. Oh God, you forgive all my iniquities. You heal all my diseases. Lord, this offering tonight, help get this gospel to people that haven't heard it yet. Amen. So just bow your head for a moment. I really only know two ways to give according to the New Testament. One is as his steward. And I know people in this room and listening by internet because they've heard this message a while. I know you have yourself in training on purpose to be his financial steward in the earth. Listen for his voice. If you hear an amount that he says he'd like for you to give tonight, then that's what you ought to do. And then if you're listening and you say, Gary, I'm just not hearing him say anything. Well, I don't always either. Then you have the other New Testament principle, which is let every man purpose in their own heart what they'd like to give. He's not trying to draw something out of you by necessity. He wants it coming from your heart. If you need an offering envelope, there's some on the pew right in front of you, and you can make checks payable to GCC, that's Grace Christian Center, or you can write it out, either one. Ushers, would you come forward at this time and receive the offering plates? And we just appreciate all of you so much and everything that you've done this week. I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do tonight. He's a God full of tender mercies. Tender mercies. Father, we thank you for your people. Father, thank you for your anointing upon this offering that you, whatever it is, Lord. Lord, touch it with that anointing you have, that anointing of increase that took the loaves and fishes and multiplied it to the point It was more than enough, more than what was needed. Touch this anointing, touch this offering with that anointing, Lord. Cause this giving tonight to send your gospel farther and more than the devil would ever think possible. Father, we know people are going to be saved. People are going to be healed. People are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost because of the giving tonight. And Father, we thank you for your blessing upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen.